Dropped into Juice Box Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. No, 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 don't touch that dial. You're exactly where you want to be.
You've landed in Juice Box Radio on 101.9 FM, or maybe you're one of our podcast listeners. However you've gotten to found this hour with us, found it, whatever, we're glad to have you. Welcome.
Welcome, and we're going to be taking calls, so feel free. Blah, blah. We're both doing this
We're
tonight.
Very fumbly. Maybe we should have meat beforehand.
I think it's time that you and I did one of these, like, canned things so that when we come on, we can just be smooth and be like, thanks, hi, welcome back, you know, or something. Anyway, because we fumble all the time. Calls, yes. Feel free to call in and contribute to the conversation we're having tonight, which will be with Zach Broman, a dating coach extraordinaire. So we'll be introducing him in a moment. Feel free to call in if you have questions. I had a fan ask me today, do we do any shows geared to men? And I said, well, actually, we're doing one tonight. So men... this is for you. And I'm sure that our lovely dating coach will also be speaking to the women. But I think, you know, for a change, we're going to be gearing this one to men. How can we help talk about women all the time? We are women, Caroline. So this
exactly.
This is why we like to talk about women and what women's interests are, because we're women. But yes, the men, they deserve to be included wholeheartedly.
And we do have a few shows
we
with
do.
Men.
We're always talking about men, but the point is that this one is geared to you, and so we're glad you're listening. All right, so let's introduce our lovely guest that you found. I don't even know this man. He's very good-looking. That's the only
He's
thing I know so far.
Man.
He seems fairly smart.
Which is a good thing.
Tell the listeners about this lovely guy.
Well, Julia, this is Zach. Zach, this is Julia. Listeners, this is Zach. Zach, why don't you tell us about yourself?
Sure. I'll talk about how I got into the pickup and dating coaching business. My background is pretty varied. I guess I got into the dating industry working for Executive Search Dating.
That's right. That's when I met you. So, which I didn't get to try it.
That's right. We did meet through that.
Because we talked about that for Beauty Night and everything, because you guys were going to do an event for us, and then that didn't work.
That sort of fizzled out.
Yeah. But I did get to go to your office, which was quite lovely.
Thank you.
You went to his office? What did you do there?
Not what I'd like to do, Julia.
It was a very tiny desk.
It was a very tiny desk. Mm. But those could be used in many different ways.
Did I tell you I spent the first 15 years of my career of working world as a secretary?
Really? Did you watch that movie?
I have a lot of these thoughts. Anyway, okay, so let's get back to the interview.
Sure. Well,
tell us a little bit what executive dating services is, basically.
Well, that was a dating service, and I left about 2 years ago. So we would set up, you know, busy, successful singles on casual dates, and as a result of that, I was meeting with a lot of people and talking to them about their relationships and what they were looking for. That's sort of
kind of what prompted you in terms of becoming a dating coach now.
Actually, what prompted me was my own quest for learning how to be better with women.
Okay.
And, you know, several years ago, if we go back 5-6 years ago, I couldn't approach a woman to save my life. I was totally terrified, didn't know what to say.
I'm having a hard time believing you.
I was going to say, what do you mean better with women? Better in what way? I mean,
yeah.
You're
well,
terrified.
At that time, I'd had one relationship. I was 27, and that had been pretty dysfunctional.
Okay,
and that had happened, you know, sort of by accident. It just
often a lot of them do.
Yeah, it fell into my lap, and I wanted to have more control, and be able to meet women that I saw
that you kind of liked and were cool,
and be able to have confidence that I can take it in the direction that I want to go with
it. So how'd you go about that?
I got online and started doing a bunch of research and bought some books and a combination of books and some DVDs and CDs and stuff like that, and then really going out and just approaching a whole ton of women and having a journal. And so I'd go out and approach some women, talk to them, see how it went, and come back and journal about it, see what worked, what didn't work.
So a lot of reflection, self-reflection. That's a really powerful way to improve anything, I think, is through self-reflection. So that's cool. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Are any of your journals readable online? Do you have a blog with that? Like, or is that...
I'm getting a blog up, but it's not up just yet.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll have some of my
articles up there.
I would like them.
So is this how you became then a dating coach, because you were interested in this?
I kind of got good at it.
Just for the listeners,
I got really good at it. And as I said, you know, 5 years ago, I couldn't approach a woman. And now, even, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, I'm known as the guy who will, you know, approach any woman in a coffee shop or on the street. And now I can see how not a big deal it is. But I remember when I was there and I see other guys saying, like, you know, wow, how did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to me is, as I learned to get better at picking up and dating and being more successful with women, a lot of areas of my life started falling into place.
Such
I started to feel more confident. Business, I just felt more myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an area of life that, well, it's definitely an area of life that not a lot of people study and practice, and yet it's one that we probably spend the most time thinking about during the day. So, you know,
how to talk to your romantic interests. I mean, is that what you mean? Or how to be more confident? Like, what?
Or how to approach them, because everybody dreams of happily ever after and meeting that person. And it's got to start with the meet.
Yeah, obviously meeting up is...
It does.
Oh, I thought you meant meat as in penis.
Oh, I wasn't talking about cock.
I was like, the cock, the meat?
What? Yeah. I wasn't talking about the cock.
Meeting. Okay.
You can't learn that.
Both times I've mentioned meat tonight. First, it was about the burgers, and it was beef, which maybe that makes it sound worse. This time, I'm talking about meat as in meet and greet.
Not the hot beef injection. Okay.
No, I'm not talking about beef injections this time.
Okay.
Not yet. That comes later, maybe the second half.
Well, yeah, that's what people want to learn right off the bat, because you can't really go any further unless you're meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that seems sort of...
Ominous,
yeah. It's scary, you know.
It's the unknown,
and I think it's just... you know, evolutionarily, when we were living in small tribes, if you approached a woman and got rejected, the whole tribe would know, and that might be your chance for mating and having kids. So it's a pretty big deal.
It's our social construction of that fear around being rejected and what that means to your actual self-worth. I think it really scares people.
Exactly.
And also, Vancouver is a small town, so in many ways.
I think it's really down to the ego of it all, because you can meet and pick up or attempt things and nobody's going to hear about it, really.
Very seldom.
Yeah, so I think it's more just our own inner conflict that goes
on. I love Vancouver. Women in Vancouver are fantastic. I hear
a lot of complaints about
the men, but there's so many wonderful, beautiful, entrepreneurial, creative women that I meet in Vancouver. And
yeah,
I find them
two
really.
Of them, aren't we, Caroline?
Yeah, they are.
You guys are two of the best.
Oh, whatever. Anyway.
I've known you for 5 minutes.
This is how he's become such a good pickup artist. Anyway.
Exactly.
Okay, yes, yes.
Flattery gets you everywhere. Is there any truth in that?
No, there's not.
It gets me all over the place. Are you kidding me? It's fabulous. It works great.
Like,
as long as you're sincere. As long as your flattery is not just empty flattery and it's actually meaningful and it actually, you mean it. And
That was a brilliant statement. Thank you.
I do have a little bit of practice with this being pushing 40 and all. Anyway.
I thought we weren't going to talk about personal life sometimes.
Oh, I can talk about my age, can't I? I'm talking about my sex life. I'm not talking about my sex life anymore. I'm just talking about my age.
All right. We're just checking.
Okay. This is the Julie and Caroline show, Zach. You just have to realize that.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
You guys are in the driver's seat.
Let's get back to you. So,
in terms of that, you were mentioning earlier, just before we got on air, about the fact that you're going to be working for an American company. As a dating coach.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Actually, I went down and trained with them in San Francisco a little while ago and did one of their boot camps, which is...
As a dater or as a dating educator?
I went down to learn.
How to date.
I knew I was fairly advanced, but the things that they're teaching are so revolutionary and so beyond what else is out there. I wanted to go and get the full experience.
Dating boot camp work?
Well, we would spend the days. This particular company is called DiCarlo Declassified. It's on vindicarlo.com. And what they do is it's drills based.
Okay.
So we would team up and we would practice getting things, getting the feel of that kind of an interaction.
So role playing?
Role playing, yeah. A lot of role playing. And
that's a very powerful way to learn. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And then in the evening, we'd go out to bars and clubs and then
practice.
And we had the instructors there and they would help us and
right
things
on.
Like that. So
sweet.
So, yeah, I was down there and it was pretty clear that I was a little more advanced than some of the other students there. And I ended up sort of helping out and mentoring them and kept in conversation with Vin.
Great.
At Vin DiCarlo.
And they hired you.
And they hired me.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so I'm starting to do some work for them
and
really excited about that. That's
sweet.
Like, a couple days old.
It's very exciting. And I'm sure you're going to be sharing some little tidbits with us later in the show. Now, Caroline and I have a question for you specifically, and that is, are you single yourself, Zach?
That's always what people want to know.
Yes.
When I was matchmaking at Executive Search Dating, everyone was curious about that. I'm not exclusive with anybody right now. I'm dating.
It's very well put.
Yeah, that's what it comes down
we're
to.
We're all dating, aren't we? All three of us, and we're not exclusive with anyone, are we?
The three of us are dating.
What does dating mean? We're going to get back to that later in the show as well. We don't want to know what is dating in today's society. So good answer. Do we want to talk about success stories next a little bit?
I think we should talk about a little about success stories. I'm very curious.
Yes.
What kind of success stories
have I had with the people that I've been coaching? Good question. Where I begin right at the very beginning.
Okay.
And I assume that you know nothing except how to speak English. And so we really break it down to, eye contact and body language and things like that.
Okay.
I want to get into a little bit later sort of the overall, philosophy of the way I teach for you to understand. It's not about, striking poses and and doing a special,
Madonna
eye contact pattern and manipulating someone into liking you. Exactly. And so, successes will be someone will come back to me and say, wow, I approached, five girls this week and one of them was really attractive and, I felt good about that for the first time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then, a week later, I have a guy in California that I've been sort of mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
And I get text messages mm-hmm. all the time saying, oh, my God, I just got – he got his first phone number the other day, which is really
big
exciting for me.
Yeah.
And he's really, really successful. I met him down in San Francisco, and he's like a good-looking guy. He's a doctor. He's got everything going for him.
Why aren't you introducing us to him?
He's in California.
He's in California.
So
honey,
I
okay.
can't help you out.
Yeah,
but that's the one part of his life that wasn't coming together, and now it's starting to come together.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sweet. I'm sure there's many other success stories that you could probably tell us. Like one more, maybe. Do you have personal experience with someone who might have been maybe over the top and not having a lot of success because they were perhaps trying too hard and... if something like that's ever happened in your
experience? There's a lot of mistakes.
There's a lot of mistakes that guys make in dating relationships. I've had a lot of experiences where I've coached guys on the phone the night before, the day before a big date, or the day of a big date.
How would that coaching session work?
How would it sound?
Yes.
Basically,
pretend I'm the guy.
Okay.
I've got a low voice right now.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Okay, uh-huh. So you got a date tonight?
Hi, I got a date tonight. I'm a little nervous about this. I've never done this before.
Fantastic. So basically what we'd start is, what are you going to do on the date? And
I'm going to take her out for dinner.
Okay, great. Dinner is fine. We all have to eat. I really prefer dates that are fun and interactive and low cost, and also don't set up the dynamic of, I go out for dinner as well on dates, and I like to pay as a man, but it is sometimes sort of awkward. And if you go somewhere really fancy, it can seem like, you don't have enough, you don't value yourself enough to know that, she should just like hanging out with you, like you have to buy her dinner in order to spend time with you. And I think a lot of guys are uncomfortable with that. And some women are uncomfortable with that and will sort of insist that you don't pay. So sort of, great dates that I've gone on that I've also suggested to other people is go to IKEA and go shopping. Because there's lots of built-in conversation and there's lots of fun stuff to do. Carolyn's shaking her head right now.
I'm dying. I had the worst date going to Costco.
Well, I didn't say go to Costco.
I don't think Costco's very romantic. IKEA's got these like bedroom sets and these living room, these comfy
right.
couches to sit on.
A
and
giant
on
vat of peanut butter.
Yeah, I think Costco's pretty
unsexy.
Be
the way to my heart, so yeah. Costco might work for me. But
wait a minute. Now let's back up
let's
here before
back.
We go, because I just want to know.
Coaching the boy.
So what is dating in today's society then? Because we're talking about going for coffee, we're talking about going for dinner. Like, what is dating actually mean before we go on this date that we're having this conversation about?
What does it mean? It means getting to know somebody and, you want to, when you meet someone, you have a certain level of attraction for them that should be appropriate to how well you know them. And one of the mistakes that guys make is either they do one of two things. They'll either pretend they're really cool and they're not interested, and they'll just kind of befriend the girl and try and be her friend, and then all of a sudden, blurt out, I have a crush on you.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's really awkward. Or they'll go over the top and they'll propose before they've even had a good conversation with the woman. These girls are nodding and laughing. Apparently you have a story there.
It's happened to me several times.
It's happened to all women on both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I teach is, not to be ashamed of your intention, but for example, if you're approaching a woman that's walking down the street, what's appropriate is, I saw you, I thought you were attractive, I wanted to talk to you and know more and know if there's anything more about you that I might like. That's it. Not, I want to take you on a date, not, I want to get your phone number, just, I want to know more. Once you've talked to her for a while, it's appropriate to say, hey, maybe we could, grab a tea or something, go for a walk. and get to know her more. And then from there, you know, a relationship can develop.
Or the next date can develop.
Well, exactly. There are intermediate stages between there
right.
and
Would that be what you consider the pickup movement?
Yeah, there is the pickup movement is.
I just want to clarify something. So we've talked about this dating, and now you've given some examples of what dating means. And I think one of the things that I found intriguing about what you just said was that you have an appropriate level of response to your intention, your attraction, and how much time you've known the person. I think this is something I haven't heard before, so I'm kind of wanting to just stay on this for a minute. I think that men, and correct me if I'm wrong, Zach, tend to be a very, very romantic, and they kind of get this sort of idealized romantic situation in their minds right away, and they kind of want to go there, like, mm-hmm. right away. And so they kind of, I think, and, you know, might be a sexual thing as well, and they sort of push women a little bit maybe too soon, or, mm-hmm. you know, because women have to be so much more cautious, for example, because of our safety issues mm-hmm. and things like that. So I think we take our time, and we're kind of a bit more realistic, and we really have learned to have to sort of interview quite a bit more than men tend to do. You guys are just sort of gung-ho, jump in there and go for it, I think, often. What do you think about that?
I think that comes from men's perception of what they think that women want. And we're told, you know, and I believe women do want to be swept off their feet. I'm not saying they don't. But, you know, if you think about, you know, popular music is a great example. I think popular music is responsible for a lot of this brainwashing. And if you listen to the...
What's the brainwashing you're talking about right now?
Brainwashing of men to think that this elaborate courting...
And aggressiveness, or aggressive courting?
Or... You know, it comes across as a neediness because, you know, they've already, they're kind of slotting that girl into the relationship slot in their life.
That's what I mean. They're kind of project this sort of future thing onto a woman within
that
a few minutes or a few hours or a few dates. And they're just like, you know, yeah, it has nothing to do with her. They're projecting into this. Yeah.
So. But when you think about, if I were to say to, you know, a woman, you know, imagine a guy, you know, bringing you a rose. You'd think, oh, that's wonderful. Because you're imagining the guy that you already like that already has these other great qualities of being, you know, independent and things like that. Mm-hmm. I was driving the car with a female friend of mine. We were talking about that. And again, there was a song on the radio. And this guy was talking about this woman being his everything and how he was planning her life around, as he was planning his life around her. And I did that game with her. And she said, oh, that sounds awesome. And then I said, well, okay. Picture it being anybody other than the guy that you're interested in right now. And she got that kind of ick feeling, which is that...
No, I wouldn't like that at all. Not with that person.
Yeah. Stalker.
Whatever, exactly.
Well, what's stalker in real life is what's romantic in movies.
That's true. Actually, if you took the movie Sleepless in Seattle with Meg Ryan, she would be a stalker if you reversed those characters and had Tom Hanks playing the female character. It'd be a horror movie.
That would be because he was on Bosom Buddies as a female.
That
would be an interesting version.
It'd be a very interesting version.
All right.
I have to do a spoof put and went and put that on YouTube.
Okay, so away from television talk and movies, I just want to know, and we, I'm so not into talking about TV, I'm sorry, I've got an aversion to it. So this dating thing, so let's get back to where we were.
I get the sense you want to talk more about the dating thing.
I'm trying to keep us on some kind of train of where we're going with this, like, five mistakes, for example.
Sure.
Now we have a semblance of an idea of what you mean when you say dating.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the listeners can kind of grasp onto that notion that we kind of project our future onto our current day situations. I think we all do that. We're all guilty of that, and it doesn't work. Then you were asking Caroline about the pickup movement. What is this pickup movement about? Let's sort of jump there again because I'm not really sure what that's all about myself.
Well, the pickup movement has been popularized by the book The Game, which a lot of people have read by Neil Strauss. And so a lot of schools have popped up teaching guys how to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
what a lot of the schools are doing is they're relying on routines and dressing up in crazy outfits and, you know, telling long, elaborate stories to
like
try
Buzz
and...
Like the Clown or what?
Yeah, to try and impress the woman. I mean, Mystery, who was one of the pioneers of this scene, mm-hmm. was a magician before, and he would actually use magic tricks. And I think the reason why guys do that is because they can't believe that a woman would actually like them. They feel like they have to do something, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's that mindset that a lot of these pickup schools are coming from.
So it's kind of like getting... the rules in terms of women.
It's exactly.
Be a creature unlike any other is number one. And a girlfriend of mine actually got her fiancé to marry. Well, she got engaged because of following the rules to a T. And we had a debate about this where I asked her straight up, when do you get to be yourself? And I have read that book so many times and I don't really understand it, to be utterly honest.
And that's a great question. When do you get to be yourself? And that's exactly what we aim to do at DiCarlo Declassified is actually to become... you know, more yourself. So to attract women without using lines or routines or gimmicks, just using your natural personality. And be yourself is probably the most common dating advice, or be confident. It's pretty useless just to be able to say that because you have to know
how to be confident,
how to be yourself.
Who are you?
Exactly.
It's kind of like developing your criteria list. If you don't know who you are, how can you know what you want?
Exactly. So that you know, relying on routines and telling stories and trying to impress her, like a lot of guys, they have the attitude going in that the woman's better than them. And she's certainly not worse than them. But when you go in with the attitude that she's better than them, you feel like you have to brag. And what sort of the average guy that's not sort of studied pickup will often do is he'll drop in little things into conversation, maybe about his car or his...
Yeah.
You know, some women are impressed by that or
I hear that.
Something about himself. And then when somebody starts to learn pickup, they learn that that doesn't work. They still are trying to demonstrate that they're a desirable guy. And what it becomes is just a more sophisticated way of bragging.
Right.
You know,
and which is arrogant and not attractive.
Right, and they feel like, you know, thinking that she's better than them, they might, like, you know, diss her. There's actually a terminology in the pickup community called a neg, which is where guys will give you a backhanded compliment to try and sort of lower
level
you. It's disgusting,
you?
And it's really not leveling. What we're about. Yeah. It's, you know, it's a symptom of low self-esteem.
So are we on how people pick up, or are you talking about the mistakes at this point? Because I had a caller to deal with there. So are you talking about the mistakes?
I'm talking about the mistakes, and in the process we sort of get to you know, what sort of some of the solutions are for them.
Okay, cool.
And talking about the book, The Game.
Right on.
Just explaining exactly what they do in terms of the routines and everything.
Mm. Okay, cool. Well, this is a really exciting part of the show that I wanted to get to. So let's take a quick break and then come back with that in the second half. So we're going to continue with Zach Roman talking about some of the mistakes that men make in this pickup situation, in the dating, the early dating times. And we're going to be back also with how to turn your pickup into a relationship. So we welcome your calls during this time, especially 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You are in Juicebox, featured on Vancouver CITR 101.9 FM. And we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Podcast update number 5.
Work has begun on Canada's Information Highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn. As it comes more and more into our personal lives, how are we going to cope with the techno peasants? I mean, this world, which was a fantasy for me 10 years ago, every 6 months becomes more a part of my own real life. You know, in the place where I do most of my writing, I now am just hooked into the world electronically, would be if I could figure out how to make the bleep bleep modem work. But I'm technologically over my head already. The limit on me is not what you can do, it's what I can do.
I'm not sure you want to use your bleep bleep modem, or any modem for that matter, with receiving podcasts. But, just check out our website and I'm sure you'll figure it out.
For more information, visit CIPR.ca/podcast.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back.
We're back. Yeah, you're back. You are in the box, in the juicy box.
I think everybody likes juicy boxes, don't they?
I don't know. There's lots of gay men out there who probably want nothing to do with juicy boxes. Anyway, all right.
Good point. We do live in Vancouver.
Anywhere in the world. Yes.
We've got a couple juice berries. Speaking we of do. Juicy, sweet things. I think we're having watermelon.
Yes, watermelon. I ran into her at the gym. Lovely, sexy, funny as heck, and has a new radio show of her own on Co-op Radio. And she is as salty as a bucket full of anchovies, this girl. That's from Malcolm Perry, Vancouver Sun. And she is basically doing a comedy cabaret from the people who bring you the East Van All-Stars and Cabaret Radio, which is her radio show. They do a Wednesday night cabaret every Wednesday at the Biltmore, which is 395 Kingsway. And you can find out all you need to know about it at thebiltmorecabaret.com. It's the second Wednesday of every month. So that's this Wednesday. And of course, Caroline and I could go after, couldn't we? But we might have to wait till next month.
I suppose we may.
I have guests coming into town, so I can't be running off to these things.
Do you think Malcolm Perry took this picture? There is a little bit of a cleave shot here.
Malcolm Perry
is known for the cleave. I've got a great picture of me where I've got the best rack in town, thanks to Malcolm. I love it. So I should just like mount them and say, yeah, they look like that all the time.
Right. I should mount my breasts as well. Anyway, okay. So we were talking about with Zach Roman. Thanks for being with us this hour. What are the top 5 mistakes that guys make picking up? And so that's what we kind of left off at the first half. And we're going to get back to that conversation. So
sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I've already covered them. We talked about, having the attitude that she's better than you. That's one. Trying to be entertaining, again, coming from the mindset of, you know, there's no way she could possibly just like me. Mm. Then we talked about hiding your intentions, either being too cool or being too over the top. One thing that a lot of guys do is they're way too eager to spill their entire story and unload their resume onto the girl that they're interested in.
Like, give me an example.
Well,
all their skills and all their qualities and what they've done.
Yeah, list their resume and tell them, you know, this is what I do, this is what I, you know, this is what kind of, again, car I drive and things like that. Whereas holding back a little bit of information, shows that you're not so eager to please.
Interesting.
And you can...
I.e. desperate,
or, you know, you value yourself. It's like when somebody speaks really, really quickly. When somebody speaks really, really quickly, it's because they think you're going to stop listening at any moment. And that sounds like insecurity, and you probably know when you talk to somebody who speaks slowly and pauses, that imbues them with some confidence because they know people are listening and that people will take the time to hear what they have to say. It's that same sort of attitude with talking about yourself.
Hmm.
If you're really eager.
I think that's kind of situational, but you know, people can speak quickly about something because they have a lot to say about it and still be very confident about it.
Or they're excited about it
or whatever. But I do hear what you're saying around just taking your time and having people listen to you, and that showing some confidence. Before we move on to the other two, did you have two more? Top five?
I've got lots more. Let me do another quick one.
Oh, sure. I wanted to just talk about this intention thing because we talked about this during the break, and I thought this might be the time to do that.
Okay,
but
go
ahead. You think it's better, finish your list, and then we'll...
You're in the driver's seat.
I like this man. He gives me all the controls. It's great. So we were talking at the break about honesty and intentions, and so speak a little bit more about that. Just tell the listeners what we were... Recap what we were talking about, please.
Tell them what you told me before on the break.
Yeah.
Sure. I think a lot of men are... This isn't what I said before, but this is where it comes from. Mm-hmm. A lot of men are ashamed to be men in a way. They're ashamed of their sexuality, and they're ashamed to want sex, and they feel like that's something that they should hide from women. And they feel like all women are going to, you know, they just want relationships, so they want to prove that they're a relationship kind of guy.
When really they're just sort of looking for sex, or they're not really sure what they think, but they'd like to have sex with you, but you might be having sex with somebody else as well, and blah, blah, blah. There might be lots of different situations.
Right, and what you were getting really excited about, what you wanted guys to know, is that being honest up front is actually a huge aphrodisiac for women. And being very clear and saying, you know, I'm open to having a relationship, but I don't get exclusive very quickly. You know, I'm currently dating several people, and that's the way it is. And that gives that person the choice of whether or not they want to get involved with you.
And this is for women, too. Those are words that you're going to hear out of my mouth. Anyone listening? Those words are going to be heard out of my mouth because I think that's very powerful. Mm-hmm. I'm open to being exclusive, but I don't get exclusive very quickly. I am dating other people right now, and, you know, we'll see where we go. But that openness and that honesty, I think, is so integral to the world being a happier place in the dating world because...
And it's sexier.
It's sexier. And people want to make informed decisions. And mm-hmm. if you don't know what the information is, if you don't know what's real for a person, how can you make an informed decision about anything mm-hmm. that they want or you want? And, you know, you don't leave room to be honest. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not being honest, the other person's not going to be honest. And there's just no safety there and everything else. It doesn't encourage each other to be upfront, honest, mm-hmm. and integrity, yeah.
It's and also- I encourage guys to give this a try because you might not believe. I didn't really believe it myself at first. Mm. But, you know, you feel like you're going to have this conversation and she's going to be... saying, oh no, you know, I'm so in love with you. And the typical response is great, you know.
Thank you for loving me. I'm not there yet.
Exactly. The typical response is, you know, phew, I'm not there either.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of guys assume that that's all women want is a relationship. And
no, and it's so not true.
Two living examples right here.
I mean, but we do want a relationship.
But
the point is that I'm not open to being exclusive right away. I need to get to know somebody. I need to see if I'm willing to put all my eggs in their basket.
Whereas
I got lots of eggs. You know, I got to keep some of them for this boy, that boy. And then eventually if I feel that one deserves all the basket of eggs, then I'll be exclusive at that point. But I need to...
Whereas
keep
I'm
going
very
with the
direct.
Metaphor.
Spend time getting to know those chickens, roosters.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. And cock is the right word there. Chili, you almost fell off your chair.
I love you. Anyway, yes, you're going to say something. You were wanting to say something.
I was just going to say, I'm always really brutally honest at the beginning of everything. And the reason why is because I don't believe in wasting anybody's time. I know what I want. I know what my intentions are. And I'm really upfront with them. I want to get married and I want to have kids. And I've got my criteria list. And
sure.
I tell them right smack away.
Just make it clear it's not necessarily with them.
I think that's really important to say
I
that.
I do tell them that. I
think that's really important. Yeah.
Hi,
I do
I'm
want to
Caroline.
Get to know them. I want to get married and have children. I don't want to scare them all away.
Okay. This is very good. So thank you for reiterating our discussion on the break. I didn't want the listeners to miss out on that. It was a very good gem. A juice berry extraordinaire. So continue, please, with your mistakes thing.
Well, I think what happens to a lot of guys in a pickup situation is they really get stuck in their head. And this manifests as hovering. I'm sure you've had the feeling where
spit it out, man!
Okay. Well, he's hovering around you. He doesn't know quite when to walk up and talk to you. And you feel it, you know. And it's kind of creepy.
Hovering. I'm gonna.
And he's probably you know a pretty normal guy, but spending 20 minutes you know circling her
creepy.
In the bookstore is creepy.
It is just the hovering thing. Oh my god. Okay. Yes.
Another one is in.
So why are they doing that, Zach?
Well, they're stuck in their head and they don't know what to do.
To say.
They don't know what to say, and.
So should I just say hi?
Well, that's what I teach. I teach a lot of guys is just have a very simple default that it's great if you can walk up and say something spontaneous and, you know, have a connection, but you're not always going to. And especially, you know, if that person walks by that's exactly your type, you know, have it could be, you know, hi, how are you doing? You know, it could be if you're in a bar, you know, what are you drinking or what's your name? It could be anything, but just know what it is, and my students, I should be able to ask them, and they should have something that they can say. Something is better than nothing. Like, any plan is better than no plan, and that's going to give you some confidence walking up there that, you know, you're not going to stand there and, you know, just...
Hover
and touch her
say
and say,
something stupid.
Pretty. Exactly.
I like you already. Okay, so next?
Well, just more on that. This will also be evidenced by, like, you see guys out at a bar or a club, and they're socializing and having a good time, and then the girl that they're attracted to is talking to another guy, and it just completely throws them for a loop, you know? And they start having a bad night, and they start to scheme, like, how can I and get her and get her away from this guy? And
male competition comes in, yes?
I was just thinking caveman.
Pretty.
Very pretty.
Okay.
So one thing that we teach in the drills at the boot camp is basically how to
deal with
be more
that.
Spontaneous and respond
authentic?
More quickly. Authentic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right.
So how about the guys who want to get a relationship? How do they go about turning a pickup into that?
Sure.
A lot of times, I've heard a lot of stories about people who have actually met their significant other at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, because a lot of times we don't go to bars all the time because of the fact that's not really what we're into. Because I always, you know, there's that misconception that that's going to be a one-night stand or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So after you hit a certain age bracket, you know, we tend not to go.
Yeah.
As an example.
Yeah. So you're asking me about places? To go to meet people? Is that...
No. How can you turn it into relationships? So say you are...
Okay, so even if it is at a bar?
At a bar.
Or, okay.
Like, say you're out watching the playoffs or something
sure.
like that.
Okay.
And there's a really cute chick there. And she's really cute. It's a bar. But normally you wouldn't pick up a chick at a bar. Maybe, you know... Okay, maybe you would. But not everybody would. But it looks like where you see her and it's like, yeah, she could be something really cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing is you want to set it up from the beginning that it's going to be so being authentic right from the beginning is a great start to a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that you used, you know, a line that you've used on 20 other women and, you know, a little story that you made up that's not exactly true is not a really good start to a relationship. And so being authentic right from the beginning.
I'm sorry, I just have to throw in an example right now because
sure.
from the speed dating that we went on, the dentist, or no, it's not dentist, chiropractor. And then running into another woman who he had used the exact same pickup lines, the exact same story on the date. And this girl and I commiserated over the fact that because we were both at the dating thing, and my mother works with one of them. So we had this lunch all of a sudden. I was like, yeah, and I went on a date with that guy. This thing. And she's like, so did I. So then we shared stories, and exactly word for word, he had said the same things, even down to, like, I think I'm going to go home and have a nap. Now, after the date was going really well with her as well, and he says, you know, so anyway,
he's a napper.
Cookie cutter stories, pickup lines, and taking us the same places and saying the same things
right.
and then ending the date in the same way.
Right.
Very, very, very,
did you
very
see
inauthentic.
Him again?
And no, she saw him again, though. I scared well, the pants off get you, like, you know, I scare most
get,
men.
That can get guys to a certain point, I suppose.
Anyway, just wanting to say that was really disturbing, and she no longer saw him after she heard the story that he said the exact same things to her as she just said to me, even though it was their third
date. You feel
date.
Kind of violated.
You feel like, well, you're not special. You feel like you're just tricked. Like, what the hell is that? Anyway, Right. Okay.
So I might be contradicting myself a little bit because I was talking about guys having a default, but that's just...
In a situation where you don't know what else to say.
It's a situation where you don't know what else to say. It's not about having a default of
and you
how
don't
your conversation's going to go. Exactly.
So being authentic, that's being important. Authentic. And then
one of the things for guys, actually this is for men and women who want to be in a relationship, is actually not to be too eager to get in a relationship. As a guy, it's better to let her bring it up.
Really?
Yeah.
We hate that.
Women wait forever for the guy to bring
to
it
say,
up.
To say... I want to be exclusive with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
The guy's waiting for the girl to bring it up.
Oh, jeez. What are we going to do?
Yeah, we're at an impasse here.
An impasse.
See, we've got this whole misconception that guys don't want commitment.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we don't say I love you first. We wait till you say it first, even though we feel it months before you or whatever.
Well,
we
approaching and all that stuff is great. That's totally a man's job to initiate
but there's
conversation
this fear of commitment.
It's not so much. It's actually the opposite. It's more the sense that, you know, as a guy, you're handing over all your power by saying, okay,
I love you.
I want to be in a relationship. I want to be exclusive with you. And
you are? How are you handing over all your power?
Well, now it's her decision.
Okay, so just the proposition of doing this.
Right.
She could reject you. Like, she could reject your marriage proposal as well.
Right.
So I think as a man, you have to be...
Right now.
What? I'm not pouting. What are you talking about? Take me on a date. I'll be fine.
Basically, it's not being in a hurry to define the relationship. And you remember when we were talking earlier, you were saying guys seem to just want to be in a relationship right away.
Well, it's feast or famine, really.
Right, exactly.
It's feast or famine. It just seems to be the pattern that's happened in my experience with friends that have told me these stories.
Caroline and I
made a New Year's resolution not to talk about our personal sex life on the air anymore. So everything is about our friends now.
Right. Your friends, Julie and...
No.
And Karen.
Amy Karen, and okay. Karen, yes.
Great.
Anyway. The two sluts in the city.
I've actually been a virgin for the last while.
Yes, you are. Your virginity is intact. It is. It's true.
Zach doesn't look like he believes us.
Heck, I'm a virgin. Okay, so let's get back to this conversation, please.
Sure. It's basically about not being in a hurry to define the relationship. And even once you're in a relationship, I think it's that concept of that this is, you know, going to be forever. Or what happens to me, certainly, is if I feel like it's going to be a forever thing, I'm, you know, evaluating somebody against that. You know what I mean? So they sneeze the wrong way and you're like... Can I live with that in 10 years?
It's true.
And there's a certain amount of maturity in being able to let go and just be with someone. Yeah. And the best relationships that I've seen have come about quite organically.
I was going to say.
And slowly.
I think that both parties tend to know after a while that they just want to be with each other and only each other. And that's kind of the way it feels good.
Exactly.
And feels right. And so it just happens. Please don't do that. You're going to make me all giddy inside. I wish we need to get a video camera in here.
We do.
Because you've done some hand things that were very funny, Caroline, and I couldn't respond to them because nobody can see what you're doing, so it's not really, we can't share this funniness with
people.
But
then you'd have to put your pants back on
anyway, Zach just put my hand thing on it. It's just so cute. Okay, put the other one on and then you can put my underwear on later. Okay, so...
I should really leave.
So getting into relationship, guys that are really successful with women, you guys are having a moment. I'm gonna hold that back.
We're fine.
You're back? Okay.
Fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
You're fine.
That's so true. You're killing me tonight, Caroline. Okay.
So guys
I'm
that are really
trouble.
Successful with women, what
Thank
I'm saying
you.
Is they really observe and see the woman, and they see what she wants and see what she wants to be, and they encourage that in her in a really positive way, not in a nagging way. But, for example, you know, if you see that she wants to be really creative or... she's really, let's say she's a businesswoman and she wants to be really successful. You just you just give her a lot of positive reinforcement so that she feels like, wow, you know, all these things in my life are possible when this guy's around. And that's how you get into a relationship, is by really supporting the best part of that person so that they're the best version of themselves when you're around, they're around you. Wow. That's powerful.
Wow, that's so awesome. Mm-hmm. I just do that by default.
Yeah.
I think that's
some people
are just very... I love you, Julia.
I haven't been like that my whole life, though. I've worked very hard at becoming this way. And it hasn't necessarily been an intentional process as so much as just that it shows maturity when you want to lift others up and when you have the confidence to be who you are in your best and most evolved state possible. And you're on this path of trying to be the best person you can be in the world just on your own. And then, you know, when you're with other people in relationship, whether it's a short-term thing or a long-term thing or a friendship or whatever, you try to bring out the best in them and kind of hold them in the space of them being the best they can be. You know, you can't help but have a healthy foundation beginning there.
And the key to that is, as I said, it's the positive reinforcement. It's not the negative reinforcement. It's not the when they do something contrary to what you like or contrary to what, you know, you think is true to them. I mean, you call people on their, I can say shit.
You can say bullshit or shit.
You can call people on their stuff, that's important. But you know, it's not about nagging. It's not about why aren't you more like this. It's about seeing what in them is already like that, and you know, watering it and developing it some
and
more.
And the sun's shining on it, too.
The sun is shining.
This all sounds so great. So, we didn't say who the music was, did we? Oh, please do that, honey.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't even know either. Antizaro, It's Great to Be Fine. Antizario and Van Orange Records.
Am I allowed to say my opinion on the song?
And it was actually shock and awe. And we meant to play Go Find Yourself because I think what Zach Broman is talking about tonight is about the being authentic part. And so I picked that song, It's Great to Be Fine, and Go Find Yourself because for some of us, I think those men maybe that are struggling with dating and figuring it out maybe don't have the confidence that they deserve to have and that they should have for themselves. So they're trying to develop that. And then so it's sort of Go Find Yourself. And then also the authentic part we were talking about. I think that's really critical, just being honest about your follies or your fears or your whatever it is, and just to be real, like treat your girlfriend like you would your closest best friend who you feel kind of like comfortable with, and you can just say, you know what, I'm not really feeling in the greatest space right now, and you know, let's just go see a movie so we don't have to talk.
And sort of counterintuitively, you know, that's where confidence comes from, is by revealing yourself. And I think a lot of guys get into this stuff to put on a mask and to become somebody different. And where you start to get really confident is when you start to take off that mask and admit that you're not perfect. And after that, you don't have really anything else to lose.
And the nice thing, too, that's beautiful, is that when people accept you as you are, then your confidence grows because you think, oh, I'm not going to be rejected for being me.
Well, and you can't feel truly loved if you are putting on a persona, because you know that even if they say they love you, they're loving the persona.
Yeah, that's loving your projection and their persona. Yeah, very well said.
Zach, thank you so much for being on the show. Yeah. We're going to have you back.
I would love to have you back. I don't even think we scratched the surface of your insight and your intellect and your experience, even though you seem like such a young little buck. I'm sure you have a lot to offer our listeners further than what we've already shared tonight, which was very valuable. And so thank you very much.
That's my pleasure. Thank you.
For people who are interested in getting some coaching from you, how would they go about that? We can't talk about amounts, but...
Yeah, no, my... Well, the company that I'm working for is vindicarlo.com, VINDICARLO.com. And that's where people can find some of Vin's products and register for a boot camp and do private coaching, things like that. My email address is Zach, Z-A-C-H, at VinDiCarlo.com, or Z-A-C-H if there are any Americans listening to the podcast.
Z-A-C-H.
So that's how you
can
get in touch
with me. Gotta help them out with that Z thing.
If you have any questions or you want to get some coaching,
fabulous. Do you have any workshops coming up in Vancouver?
I don't have anything coming up in Vancouver. I would suggest if you're interested in that to email me, and we can either set something up or I can let you know when the next thing is scheduled for.
Sounds fabulous. Thank you so much.
Thanks
we hope
lot,
you enjoyed
too.
Tonight's show. Caroline
I know
and I
did.
Are going to be back, I sure did, next week for another fresh and lively Juice Box. And in the meantime, do email us at juiceboxradio.com. What do you want to hear a show about? Caroline and I are listening. Stay tuned for Hans Claus's Misery Hour with Marianne coming up next on CITR. He's a very sexy man to be miserable with, isn't he? Let him guide you into the wee hours with his ambient collection of music and his uber hot voice. And if you could only see what
his
the
shoes.
His shoes. You could only see his
he
shoes.
He makes me have shoegasms.
Thanks for listening to Juicebox Radio. We'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10
Peacock.
10 Peacock.
I've got cock on the mind. Okay, I shut up now.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.